Mark chapter 9. If you'll go over to Mark chapter 9, we'll get started here in a moment. Mark chapter 9, let's all stand if you can in reverence to God's Word. Verse 2, the Bible says, "And after 6 days, Jesus, taking with Him Peter, James, and John, leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto him Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid." I'm sure they were. "And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead." Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity we have to be here. I ask you to open our hearts and minds to your word, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, and that we would take it and that we would receive it in and that we would be doers. And Lord, bringing ourselves into subjection every day, Lord, to serve you the way that we should. And Lord, I thank you for it. If there is one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I ask, Lord, that, Lord, you would convict them, that you would burden their heart, that they would see the need for salvation before it's too late. Because, Lord, we're at the last days. We're waiting, Lord, on the rapture. I it wouldn't surprise me for it to happen right now. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to realize that, redeeming the times that we live. And these things I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak about this subject, higher ground. Really, this ought to be a Christian's desire to be on the higher ground, to be in that higher area. Amen. We ought to be willing to be on that higher plane in our lives as Christians. Not just being, hey, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. We ought to be stepping much higher than that. Not that we're better than everyone else, but honestly, we've got the most important thing in, we're the most important thing in the entire world. We're the child of God. Not everybody can say that, unfortunately, but not everybody can say that. You don't want to look at it as you got one up on people, but honestly, we know where we're going one day. We're going to heaven. We're a child of the King, so therefore we should be on that higher plane. Now you might say, well, how do you get there? Well, there's a few things. Priorities. Priorities is one of the first things you got to do. Are you a believing? Or I should say it this way. Are you a Bible-believing Christian? I didn't say Baptist. I said, are you a Bible-believing Christian? We ought to be believing in the Word. Now, I'll be up front with you. Not all Baptists has got it together anymore. We've got some messed up Baptists in the world. I believe at one time that you could say, I'm a Baptist, and that sets you apart. But it's kind of not anymore that way. But you ought to be a Bible-believing Christian. One of those basic priorities is salvation. To ever reach higher ground, you've got to have salvation. Now you say, well, I thought we all would. Well, listen, who did he take up to higher ground to watch his transfiguration? Peter, James, and John. That left, unless my unless my mathematics has fooled me, that left 9 of them. 10, 11, 12. That left 9 down there just wandering around out in the plateau, we'll call it. Where we're just living, we're satisfied, we're doing well, and we're just cruising along. You see, that's the majority of people in the world, Christians in the world. We come to a plateau in our life and we're just easing along. We're doing good. But the goal of the Christian ought to be to go to that higher ground. You need salvation. You need scriptural baptism. Not just baptism. Scriptural baptism. That's a whole nother message in itself. But one way you'll know if you've been scripturally baptized is, was you put under water or sprinkled? If you've been sprinkled, then you ain't been baptized. If you've been baptized outside of a scriptural church, you ain't been baptized. You got wet, but that's all you did. But I don't want to get into all that today. That's a whole nother deal. Faithful member of a Lord's New Testament, scriptural New Testament church. If you're going to get to that higher ground, I've talked to people, oh, I'm up there on the higher ground. I'm walking along and I'm doing really good. And they don't darken the door of a church. And if they do, it's some off-the-wall Catholic church. Listen, there ain't no higher ground than that dog that come to my door. Dumbest dog in the world. Most kids today are like this dog. They ain't got a clue. Neighbor. Come out the door with a basset hound. Basset hounds are stupid. I'm out in the backyard. Front door's open. Sandy's outside cleaning her car. Or pulling weeds. I don't know what she was doing at that time. See, you gotta have a good wife. Pull your weeds. And so I'm back there studying. Well, the dog comes back there. And she's running around in circles around me about 4 times. And I'm like, something ain't right. Because she usually let me know, but she's not so persistent. So I get up and I go to the door. Door's wide open. She's right on out. But we got a little fence, which she could jump over really easy, but I ain't told her she could. And so here I see this basset hound. He's meandering up there. She is foaming. Teeth hanging out. She's wanting to kill this thing. And the dog is just... He don't even know. I'm dragging her into the house with her... And I'm thinking, death is right there. You see, most of the public today is about like that. Listen, death is right there, but they ain't paying attention to the warnings. You see, we need to be paying attention to the warnings. We need to understand what's going on. I ain't sure where all that fit in, but nonetheless, there it is. We ought to, one of the basic priorities would be a daily Bible study. Do you have a daily Bible study? Do you have prayer? You have time of prayer? Do you actually sit down and study the Word of God? Whether you use a devotional book or you just read a scripture and go for it, you ought to have that in your life. Our children, our grandchildren ought to see that in our life. And that's important for them. Are you using your spiritual gifts in service to the Lord in a local New Testament church? We ought to be using it. Well, I ain't got a spiritual gift. Yeah, you do. You just got to figure out what it is. It might just be bumping your gums. I don't know. But we ought to be doing that. We ought to be telling others the gospel. When we get an opportunity, we ought to do that. At least leave a track somewhere. You know, that's a way of doing it. Ooh, this is everybody likes. We should be giving our tithes that the Lord has blessed us with. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be giving offerings. That's part of, that's one of the priorities of getting to that area. 2, we ought to be using our time wisely. Ephesians 5:15-16 says that I'll paraphrase, that we need to redeem the times in which we live. We live in some perilous times. When you look around at what's going on in the world, whether you're a conspiracy nut like me, or whether you just easing along like a lot of other people, you ought to be redeeming the time and walking the way we ought to be walking and stay alert. We got problems in this country. We got problems in the world, but we ought to be using our time wisely. And by doing that, what we're doing is showing other people that they need what we have. That goes along with telling the gospel, but nonetheless, listen, time is life and life is time. That's deep. And if we waste our time, we're wasting our life. And that's true. If we're wasting the time that God has given us for all this other junk, then we're wasting our life. God has given us one life to live, and that one life to live should be to live for Him. It don't matter what we're involved in, but we ought to be using our time wisely because we need to redeem the time. We don't have that far off. Love one another. Number three, we ought to love one another. And that doesn't just mean everybody in here. That means that nag of a neighbor you may have. That dingbat that comes out in his underwear every morning and he stretches and he looks like Buddha out there and he's drinking his coffee and smoking his cigar and we love one another. having a right heart. Now, you can do all the things that we just mentioned, that we just went over, and still not have a right heart. That's sad. But it's true. Second Chronicles, Go to Second Chronicles. That's back there before you get to Psalms. If you started out in Genesis, if you start out in Revelation, though, you're going to pass up Psalms. Second Chronicles chapter 25. The guy named Amaziah. He's 25 years old when he became the king and he reigned 29 years. And his mother's name, for whatever reason, was Jehoiadam of Jerusalem. In other words, she was a Jew for sure, we know. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But not with a perfect heart. Well, who's going to have a perfect heart? Really, that means a mature completeness in your heart with the Lord. He done everything he was supposed to do. He was serving the Lord the way he was supposed to serve the Lord. But he just wasn't doing it with the right heart because he had some issues. You see, he was living right, doing right, but he still was compromising with the world. He was still mixing in with the world and getting involved in things that he had no business being involved in. Back up to 2 Kings real quick. Hang on to 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings, what chapter? 14. Now this is another account of him and it tells us a little more. Look at verse 1, 2 Kings 14. In the second year, Joash, son of Jehoaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. Now don't get them two dudes mixed up. He was 25 when he began to reign. And it says he reigned 29 years. We already know that. Oh, that wasn't proper, was it? We already know that one. And then it says who his mama was again. She was an important person. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We knew that one. Yet not like David his father. He did according to all things that Joash his father did. How be it? Now here's your compromising. How be it? The high places were not taken away. As yet, the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. In other words, he left them alone. He was letting them do their little thing. He compromised with them. He said, oh yeah, you just keep doing it, because he wanted the popular vote. I mean, you know, that's important to have the popular vote. Now, by the way, they were worshiping in that day a god of the Canaanites, Asherah, which is not a good one. Well, it was a false one anyway, so we won't go there. You say when we compromise with the world, we tend to limit what God will do for us. We won't get to that higher plane when we're compromising. It's not going to work. We limit what God would do for us or what God can provide for us. Now, if you go back to 2 Chronicles, you look at verse 6. Verse 6. He said, now, let me throw this out here. He had determined he's going to go to war, and he gathered up all of his men, 20 and up, that could do what he needed to do. They were good with the spear. He didn't have a problem sticking somebody with it. 300,000. That's quite a few men. But then it says in verse 6, he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. Israel and Judah is basically the same place, but they're split kingdom. Israel had wicked, wicked kings. Judah had some good kings, they had some wicked kings. But they're all brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles, and I mean, they're all kin. They're all Hebrews. But so he hired them from the northern kingdom, which was Israel. Now, he's limiting God. But there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. Oh, but catch this next phrase. For the Lord is not with Israel. In other words, why are you mixing in with these folk? The Lord ain't with them. That's what he wants us to see today. We're of the world, but we're not of the world, but we're in the world. But we're not to be communing and mixing in with all these folks. The Lord ain't with them. Causes the Lord not to do things. Causes more problems that we can dream of. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. In other words, you're going to go ahead, you ain't going to listen, go do it. Be strong in it. You see, when we look at that, God shall make thee fall. Let me finish reading. In verse 7 it says, but if thou wilt go do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. Ooh. In other words, you ain't going to listen. You go ahead and mix in with all them because God ain't with them. And guess what? You're going to pay one way or the other. Eventually, you'll see the paycheck come in. When we reap things, trust me, when we sow, we're going to reap what we sow. It may not show up tomorrow. It might show up 10 years from now, but nonetheless, it shows up. We are going to reap whatever we sow. He said, for God, but notice, God has power to help and to cast down. In other words, God's in control is what he's trying to tell him. Hey, God is in control of what's going on. And he's able to help you one way or the other, but he is going to help you. I don't like the latter part. He's able to make you fall. I'm not interested in falling. Oh, now go to verse 9. And Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall we do with 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? God, I've done this. I've done mixed in. I've done paid out all this. I've done got involved with these people. I've done give them my word. I done blah, 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 blah. Because we come up, we're human. We come up with all kinds of things to say. We got excuses. But now notice what the Lord says at the end of that verse. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to help us more if we'll pay attention to Him and do what He says. The Lord is able to help our children and our grandchildren, nieces and nephews, a whole lot more than what we're allowing. He said, if you'll just allow, if you'll just do what I've asked you to do. He said, the Lord's able to do it. He's able to give you a whole lot more than that. We got this idea that we got to do this for our children, and we've got to do that for our husband, and we've got to do that for a wife, or what. But listen, we're not to compromise with the world in the process of doing it. We're to stay faithful to the Lord. And by the way, we may say, well, we need to be involved, and we need to, listen, the Lord is able to take care of what we need. Whatever our needs are, the Lord is able to take care of that. We ought to be willing. Now, I'll say it again. We can do right. We can be right in the sight of the Lord. But we still don't have a right heart with it. We got to back up. The heart is evil above everything. You can blame that one on Jeremiah. He's the one that put that out there. You see, our hearts have a real problem. It's a daily battle for us. Paul said, I have to beat myself into subjection every day. Well, I'll be up front with you. If Paul had to fight with himself every day to live the way he was supposed to live, that ought to tell us we ought to be fighting ourselves every day. Because if Paul had to do it, but why are we that away? How come we got to fight with it all the time? It's called the flesh, but I've got a special word for it. We've got the can't help it. That's true. We're human. We got the can't help it. We're going to get involved no matter what because we got the can't help it. Somebody's going to say something smart to you, and you got the can't help it, so you got to say something smart back. It happens to us. I don't know why, but the can't help it, by the way, is the old nature. I just like saying that I got the can't help it. Now, go back to Mark 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Mark 9. That's right after 8. See, these guys, now you think about this. They were on higher ground. Now they were, I would say, three important apostles. Well, they bound to have been. Peter was one of the greatest preachers on the face of the earth after he got it together. But he had been up on higher ground with the Lord. James, he'd been up on higher ground with the Lord. John is looked at and only one in the entire Bible that stated the beloved John. He's the one that the Lord loved. Now, that don't mean that the Lord didn't love Peter. That he didn't love James or he didn't love Matthew or any, he loved them. Now, I think it had something to do because John was the youngest. And John was going to end up taking care of the mother of Jesus. That we see during the crucifixion. He says, your mom, your son. He kind of turned her over to him and said, I need you to take care of her because, so they were on a high ground. They saw the Lord. Think about what they saw. They saw the Lord in all His glory right there in front of them. Bless Peter's heart. He had no idea what to say. He didn't realize by saying, let's build three tabernacles. He was putting them all three on the same level. Listen, Jesus was way up here compared to Elijah and Moses. Way up here. Well, Jesus is God, amen. And he was wanting to bring them down to the same level. He finally understood it later, but he just didn't know what to do. But listen, they saw Christ in all of his glory. They heard the voice of God with their very ears. This is my beloved son, hear him. And you gotta be like, woo, man, you'd be way up here. You're on higher ground. You are in an area that not everybody was able to. Moses, show me your glory. And whenever God says, you know what? I'll do this for you, Moses. I'm going to walk by this crack here in the rock cleft. By this cleft in the rock, and I'm going to move my hand, and I'll let you see my hinder parts. That's it. And Moses was like, woo, this is good. And he didn't know nothing. He come down off the mountain and they're all like, oh, God, we can't look at you. They had to put a veil over him. Because he had been in the glory, in the presence of God. What a place to be is in the presence of God. But you see, even these guys, even though they were in the presence, that word but comes in again. It's a conjunction. They let the old nature have its way. It wasn't long after they come down off the mountain from being on higher ground that they got the can't help it. Happened again, the can't help it took over. And that's because they wasn't beating themselves up. They were arguing with each other. Verse 33 of chapter 9. And he came to Capernaum. And being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves? By the way, hey, what were you guys arguing about, man? That's Jesus. Jesus comes into the house there at Capernaum and he sits down. He's drinking his olive oil or whatever they were drinking. And he says, hey, what were you guys arguing about? Huh? You know, when we was coming down, what were you guys arguing about? Oh, but look at verse 34. But they held their peace. nothing, Lord. Don't worry about it. For by the way, they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. I'd hear it now. Peter would, well, I spotted them first. You guys sat over here and didn't even say a word. At least I spoke up. You know, I'm surely going to be up here. You guys will be here, well, of course. And the other ones will be down. But man, I'm going to be, because I spoke up first. And then I'm probably here, John, yeah, but you just stupid enough to say something. Because Peter was. He was that guy that jumped off the diving board and said, ooh, I forgot to put water in there. Well, we got to do something. You see, they compromised with the flesh. You see, we not only compromise with the world, we compromise with the flesh too. We fight against the can't help it all the time. And we need to get a hold of that. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, I bring myself into subjection every day. We've got to do that because if we don't, we'll compromise not only with the world, but we'll compromise with ourselves. Because I'll be honest with you, ourself is probably our biggest enemy. I can do without a bunch in the world. I can sit in my backyard and just and be happy as I can be. Sitting back there at my little table and man, my dog's running around and got a little breeze going and I'm just happy. The world ain't affecting me. But then I compromise with flesh. You see, that's what happens. We have to bring ourselves in subjection. You see, you got to remember this. Because a lot of us look at it in the way the song portrays it. You ever been up on the mountain and then next you're down in the valley? You know, you're up there on the mountain. Ooh, everything's good. when you're in church, boy, you're on the top of the mountain. Everything's good up there. The air is clear. There's no problems from the world. But then all of a sudden, boom, we're down in the valley and we're running through the muck and the mire and we're getting stuck in the clay and the mud and we're getting dirty and now the song says the God on the mountain is the same God in the valley, right? That's true. You see, the mountain is the God. God is in control up there. But He's also in control of the valley. Did you know that you can walk on higher ground whether you're on top of the mountain or down in the valley? You don't have to walk off the higher ground because we go off down in the mud and muck and we get stuck. We don't have to. We're in the valley. The same God up here is the same God down here. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. If we bring it under subjection and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, we can have that. We can be on the higher ground whether we're up here or whether we're down here. If we do that, we'd be a whole lot better off. I'm going to give you the key to higher ground. You want to stay in the higher ground, I'm going to give you the key to it. It's biblical, it's in the Bible, and I'll give you the key to how to do that. But I gotta say something first. Who in here knows what Elijah and Moses and Jesus were talking about when they were in front of Peter, James, and John? It says in the book of Mark, Jesus talked with them. And I've often wondered that. What did they talk about? Well, the Bible unfolds, Scripture unfolds Scripture. If you go over to the book of Luke, the same account, it says they were talking about His decease. They were talking about when He was going to die. That's what they were discussing. Jesus was up there discussing that He's going to die, and it was amazing that He had those two men. Moses is considered the man because of the law. Elijah is considered the man because of the prophets. And on everything hang the law and the prophets. Jesus fulfilled all of it. And Jesus was talking to them about, yep, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be risen again. I'm going to fulfill the law and the prophets, you guys. It's pretty neat. That's just added. I won't charge you. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. Here is the key to being on higher ground at all times. Now, I ain't telling you it's easy, because we do have the can't help it, right? Amy, you ever had the can't help it? Yeah, I got the can't help it. Brother Jeff over here, and the Brother Jeff back there, he gets the can't help it. Even Roger gets the can't help it. But if you want the key to higher ground, here is the key. Chapter 22 of Matthew and verse 37, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." If we'll do that, if we'll love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul, all our mind, in other words, all our being, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter whether I fit in at school. It doesn't matter whether I fit in at work. It doesn't matter whether people like me or not. If I love the Lord God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind. He says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We should love everybody. Right to. This is hard. Although I believe, And I believe the Bible backs up what I'm going to say. This trans mess that's going on, I believe they are turned over to a reprobate mind. You can't go that far in life without that being true. But I am to love them. I'm not to hate them. I'm not to go out and start shooting them. I'm to love them. That don't mean I accept them. That don't mean I agree with them. That doesn't mean I've got to take them out to dinner. It doesn't mean I've got to invite them all in. What it means is I got to love them because I'm going to be up front with you. Kaylani and Anaya heard me say this to a fellow the other night. I didn't say it to him. I told them, I said, I can't make fun of him and I got to love him because this is the best he's ever going to have. So why should I make it any more miserable than it's going to be? Because he's going to die and go to hell. Because I don't see any other way around it. According to the book of Romans, chapter 1, they're done. God has abandoned them. That is a scary thought. Because I've heard some of them say, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. You can't be a Christian and do that. You might be a Christian and dabble here and there in some garbage you ought not to. But you can't go changing everything. I saw something the other day. I can't remember where I saw it at. Anyway, the black guy, what's his name, does some kind of a show, one of these game shows. He asked a little girl, he said, what's this? It's a skeleton. She said, that's the pelvic bone. That is the only bone. The only bone. That's different from a male and a female. He said, you can never change that bone. The pelvic bone is different. My wife's pelvic bone is different than my pelvic bone. And it don't matter what I get done, I'm still going to have the pelvic bone from a man. Whether they like it or not, you're born a man or you're born male or you're born female. When you go changing things, you got problems up here, and I'll just be up front with you because God's no longer with you. Back to where I was at. This is the key. 39. The second likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, we take care of the first six of them. The Ten Commandments. They're covered. And if we love our neighbor as ourself, we cover the rest. Because it all hinges on that right there and on what the prophets spoke of. And the Lord Jesus fulfilled that. If I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, I've got that taken care of. If I love the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind, I can walk on higher ground, whether I'm on the mountaintop or whether I'm down in the valley. People can look at me and they can see that I've been with Jesus. Just like with Moses. They knew when Moses come down the mountain, oh, he's different. Well, look at the shine he's got. See, we can have that. Doesn't matter what the doctor tells you. Doesn't matter what's going on when you're down in the valley, because the same God on the mountain, the same God in the valley. Let's stand. Let's sing a song, Brother Roger. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your word. That, Lord, we can study your word. That we can go to it and find answers. And even as I was reading in Mark, and I'm like, what did Jesus and Elijah and Moses speak about? Well, we let your word unfold your word, and it tells us. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you, Lord, to help us each and every day to keep ourselves under subjection. Lord, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And that we'll love our neighbors as we do ourselves. That we'll let our light shine. That we'll stay on that higher ground. So that we can be that lighthouse that we need to be for a lost and a dying world. Because, Lord, we're in the last days, the last moments. And once this rapture takes place, this is going to be a horrible place to be. Lord, I leave it all in your hands this morning. In Jesus' name. What page?
124.
124. Thank you. I'm doing another song in my head. Sorry.
Lamb of God, I come.